Okay, in Perek Dalid, we're at Mishnah Yud Aleph. Ramei Raimer. Everyone's dream. Have a mamayit ba'asik va'asik ba'tayra.
We have it
as Yud. Yud, I'm sorry. I apologize. The heading said Yud. Perek Dalid Mishnah Yud. Okay. Ramei Raimer, have a mamayit ba'asik va'asik ba'tayra. Try to have less involvement in your personal businesses, personal affairs, and be Isaac and Tyra. I, who's going to take care of your personal affairs, is spending too much time on it anyway. It'll get taken care of. And behave in humility to other people. So I have to see how that's connected. If you bevatel from Tyra, so yesh lecha b'telem harbe kenegdech. Two typical interpretations. Either you have a lot of, you're not alone. If you're mevatel Tyra, there are plenty of mevatel Tyra. Or yesh lecha b'telem harbe kenegdech. When you're mevatel from Tyra, it's not as if a person couldn't find more time. There are other b'telem in a person's life. There are other things a person does that are a waste. Don't think that you're going to not be involved in your own personal things. You could have made money, but God has schar to give to you in its place. Now let's see how the Ruach Chaim explains this. Basic v'asek b'tayra, a very interesting line. He says, "Lahafsidam b'vasachas e'efshir, rak ma'at ma'at tamitem." It's interesting. He's saying, you don't tell someone, quit your job and sit and learn. All in one shot. Rak ma'at ma'at tamitem. A little bit at a time, be memayit them. It's a very wise thing. Many years ago, I went to my father's Rebbe. My father was the shaylites of a certain person all his life. So I went to speak to him, and I told him that my father's a masmid. Why is he working? Just to help support me and let him. I told my father didn't do it, so I went to him and I said, he can, let him retire. He's only, he has enough money to live the rest of his life, so let him retire and I shouldn't be the one keeping him working. So he told me, no, if he's going to totally quit at one shot, it's going to be too much time on his hands. He's not going to use his time well. Let him better cut his hours, which he was doing. So by the time my father came to his last years, he was still working, but he got there about 10. He set up to work, whatever had to be, and by 12 he was already out to his chavrusa. And in the afternoon he came back, you know, from 2 to 5 or 2 to 6. So he was in the place, let's say 5 or 6 hours a day, but he was running back and forth to the base managers. He can't suddenly throw too much time on a person because then he's not going to use it right. So that's what he's saying. In one shot, to tell him, don't be Isaac and you're Isaac and go learn, it doesn't happen that way. A little bit at a time, learn more. Eventually, hopefully, you'll get yourself to a full schedule.
Self-employed, you could do that. If you're working with somebody, you don't know that.
I wasn't being tevei you.
No.
But most people self-employed find it harder to do it than people. I don't know. Okay, it's not to say he spent plenty of years of his life working 10 or 12 hours a day, which, you know, if you're not self-employed, so you can cut yourself out at 8 hours, but if you have your own business, you know, you can't. Okay, v'havi shva ruach b'fnei kol adam. How does that follow? Ki l'pa'amim ha'adam b'inoy l'bein atzma yavin chisroinoy v'yia onav. A person, for himself, he knows his own failings. So to be a shva'al ruach, when you're the only one in the room, is not so hard. When you're involved with other people, a human being has pride. And memeila, he's not a shva'al ruach. Have a shva'al ruach b'fnei kol adam. And therefore, be a shva'al ruach between others. So first of all, among other people, people tend to have pride. And also, a person tends to judge levels of accomplishment by the people around him. How much is a person supposed to learn? How much is a person supposed to daven? How much chesed is a person supposed to do? Well, if you look at the people around you and you feel comfortable, so you feel you do enough. A person judges himself by the people around him, and it's not true. That's not the, that was the avla of Klal Yisrael during the generation of the Chorban. Yirmiyah gave them Musar. And they looked around, the nations around them were no better. So, if the nations around them were no better, how can, who's God gonna trade us for? But being good or bad has nothing to do with the people around you. It has to do with absolute. And the same thing. All of us, we have to judge ourselves by what we should be doing rather than by the people around us. He says, or another interpretation, now before I start this, I want to remind you of an old chakira that I've mentioned once before here in Ruach Chaim, and we'll see again here. The old chakira has to do with the language of the Mesil Sisharim in Perichov Beis regarding Gaiva. The question was, is Gaiva, we know Gaiva is a bad midah, the worst midah according to the Rambam. Of all the bad midahs, being a Baal Gaiva is the worst. The question is, being a Baal Gaiva is someone who thinks highly of himself. Is that something which is wrong inherently? A person thinks that he's the best, there's something wrong with that, he's a Kilkul Hamidah. Or is it only because of the behavior that tends to follow? So the question I asked then was, here you have a person. He thinks he's God's gift to the world. He thinks he's the best. Everything he does is perfect. But he knows that you're not supposed to be a Baal Gaiva. So he never shows it. It's his secret. You know, he's really the best. He knows best. He knows how to do everything. It's his personal secret. He's a tzaddik. So he behaves as if he's an onuf. So is there anything wrong with that? If it doesn't show in your behavior, is there anything wrong with being a Baal Gaiva? So Chaim always says it's impossible. If you're a Baal Gaiva, it's going to come out. But you're not answering my question.
Gaiva's in the lab.
It's in the lab or it's in the Maisa?
Good.
The language of Mesil Sisharim is what got me going, because he seemed to say it's in the Maisa. But let's see how, let's see what Chaim Balazs says.
Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Anav Mikol Adam, but he knew how great he was.
Yeah, but he didn't think it was being so great because he felt, you know, it's this much difference, so what's the difference, you know? I'm this much better than everybody else compared to God. That's it's another grain of salt in a full world of sand.
Okay.
So you have to ask Moshe Rabbeinu. Well, let's see what he says here. He says, "Apima shomer chomer chamenu zal omer av tamachachem sarish be echam mishmina mishminis megeus." A tamachach should have 1/64 of gaiva. The Rambam says that typical midas, the mean, the golden mean, is the best. That my most midas, let's say, spending money. A person not supposed to be spend money without any cheshbon. A person not supposed to be stingy. So there's a golden mean. There's a middle road which is right. It comes to taiva. A person would be about taiva. You're not supposed to fast all the time. So there's a middle road. But not by gaiva. Gaiva, the Rambam says, chutz megaiva. Chai gaiva, a person has to avoid totally. So Rav said, 1/64 of gaiva. Now I'm finding a hard time measuring it exactly. Like, how do you measure 1/64 of gaiva? So obviously it's a remnant to something. We'll see. Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar Loi Minav Loi Miktzaser. Nachman Yitzchak says zero. Zero gaiva, not 1/64 of gaiva. What do we do? Which sheet do we follow? Huh? We're still shooting for the Ram doesn't read the 64th. He says he brings Beferish Vekeret. V'inyin hu. What's this business 1/64th? Shmini shabishminis halug, a 64th of a lug who kartov. That's a certain measure. K'may she'amru, as it says in Mikvah's Perikim Mishnah Aleph. Umatzino shehakartov yochla hapech esamara afilu b'shloish lugin. We find in Mishnayis in the Gemara k'may she'amru b'mishnah. If you have shloish lugin of mayim, three lug of water, chasek kortiv, shenafal l'soichay yayin umarein kamari yayin. If you have a measure of water and a kortiv of wine falls in, it'll change the color. So when it says Shmini Shabbishini Shabbigeus, it's enough to change the color. What does that mean? Zeh Shalamar Shtalachachem Tzar Shielei Gaiva Shmini Shabbishminis. What's a limer? Mara Geus Bechutz Tzar Chlaharis Lepaam Mara Gaiva. That even though he's not about Gaiva, but he has to sometimes show a certain amount of pride. Ukinian Nahayg Nasi Usech Beramim Zorek Mara Betalmidim. Like the advice that the Rebbe has to behave in a way that shows him above the Talmidim, Zroik Mara b'Talmidim, and to throw some fear in the Talmidim u'kadayma. So he holds that 164th of Gaiva means an appearance of Gaiva. This is the reverse of what I was talking about. Inside, you should feel humility. He has a job, he has a responsibility, so he behaves sometimes with authority. He says, even to show gaiva, one should not. Says shomer leminov lemitzasa. Tzar shiyah shiflus nikur gam al panam bechutz. Shiflus should be obvious. He the rebbeir see the can gam kanker of nachem b'yitzchok. The chayin amar havishvah ruach b'fnei kol adam. And he's following this opinion. So havishvah ruach b'fnei kol adam. B'yishvah ruach in front of people. In other words, you might think in front of people you were allowed to show gaiva, like the other opinion. He says no. Havishvah ruach b'fnei Kol Adam. So you have this among Gedalim. Be proud of your achievement. Okay, look, a person Lamaisa who doesn't have any gaiva at all, unless he's a real Baal Madrega, is going to suffer from mental disorders, because if a person has zero gaiva, he's not holding there. You know, you have to be Baal Madrega to be an Anam. You can't just be an Anam Kol Adam. So it takes a certain amount of doing.
How do you interpret the way the Musa school of God was
I would think it sounds very much like the school of God Lasadam held with the sheet of Shmini Shabashminis. They have to show some gaiva. And the school of Shif Lasadam held, like Rav Nachman Yitzchak, held that you shouldn't show anything at all. Although, the way I mentioned here, Rav Palm had said, it was just a necessity to have a certain amount of gaiva of Kedusha, because the world frowned down on it so much that if you didn't have a little shtaltz in it, a little pride in it, or much pride in it, you couldn't make it. Yeah, a person who's a king's messenger could feel the king is the best, and I'm his messenger, so I have to do his job. It's the question of feeling that it comes from him, which is always the problem, always the challenge. So, is anova the opposite of gaiva? Shval ruach and anova are not the same. Shval ruach could be a negative thing depending on how it's used. I don't know. We have to. It might be necessary to analyze exactly what gaiva is. But gaiva is what? We shall complete anava. In a sense, look, in the way it's used, anava is the opposite of gaiva. It goes together on that. I don't know. The thing is, we're so far from working on our gaiva that like when something's bent in one way, you got to bend it hard the other way to get it straight. So, in the meantime, let's bend it hard. The Rambam says it's a tremendous insight into human nature. That kas is a product of gaiva. That anger is really a product of gaiva. When a person gets angry, typically it's because he feels something shouldn't be a certain way. Somebody does something a certain way, I feel it shouldn't be that way. It's an insistence on doing things one's own way. And the Rambam in the Yad says that kas is a result of gaiva. Kas comes, usually a person not angry at himself, but kas, in the sense of a burning kas, usually comes against others. So it's the idea that my way is right, and that's where it comes from.
Anov isn't exactly the opposite of gaiva. I mean, someone's an anov, he can think that he's a great person, just that he doesn't deserve it. the gift from Hashem. I could be better than I am.
So the question is that gaiva? If a person says...
Maybe he recognizes he's a higher madriga, but that, you know, Hashem gave him kofas that he really didn't deserve it, or that, you know, this is why I can't...
There has to be a way of making a distinction between gaiva and gaiva the kedusha. Because in every generation or in every community, you know, somebody who's a god l'ador that everyone asks his shilas to. So what's somebody else supposed to think? You know, they come to him with all the shilas. You know, so Chaim Knesset is supposed to think. Everyone's lining up by his door. So there's a gaiva de kedusha. There's a gaiva. A gaiva is personal. And a gaiva de kedusha is when a person feels he's God's agent, God's messenger, and I'm representing the Rabbeinu Shalom. Vayig bali by bedachei Hashem. Yeshafat. It says about Yehoshaphat, Vayig Bali by Bedarchei Hashem. Yehoshaphat was the fourth king of the split Malchus of Yehuda. And his father was Asa. And it's interesting, we find among the kings very often that a king tries to fix things that his predecessor failed in. And where his predecessor failed, he tries to succeed, to go backwards. So Asa made the serious mistake of trying to get along with... Yehoshaphat made the mistake. Asa fought with the ten tribes against the two, the ten tribes against the two. See, Yehoshaphat bent it the other way. He tried to do it, and that was a mistake. And the Gemara says, "Vayig bali b'vdach Hashem." He forged his own way because he had a certain guide of the kedusha. And there's such a
international speaker, very famous. And his speeches were always so well received, and it said...
You're talking about me, public.
Okay. But it said that before he started every speech, in order to bring himself down a little bit, he said the words, L'cha Hashem HaGdula V'HaGavura.
Who did he tell that he did this? To whom did he tell? That was... okay. There are... The fact is that every human being is given different opportunities, and given different abilities, and gaiva comes from feeling that you're better than someone else. And if somebody was given the opportunity and someone else wasn't, it doesn't mean that he's better, but that he's a shliach of the Rabbi Nishalel, that that could give him a cause to feel proud. All right, Mishnah Yud Aleph. Le'Belezer ben Yaakov Aimer. And this is really a source for a lot of what's written in Bali Machshava, and certainly in the Chassidish Svarim, the idea that when a person does a mitzvah, he creates a good malach, so to speak, and when a person does an aveira, he creates a bad malach, or a bad influence. Now that idea that a person creates these things is indisputable. The question of how to picture a good malach is the issue. Gemara says when a person is nifter, his averis accompany him on his road, on wherever he's going, and his mitzvahs accompany him on his road. And a person can't shake it. A person is constantly surrounded by the influence and the effects of the things that he's done in the past. And that's why it's difficult. Let me tell you a Varn on Parshas Yisrael. I think Rav Schwab on Parshas Yisrael has this idea. Rav Schwab says that when Yisrael, beginning of the parasha, Yisrael says, "Ani chasencha Yisrael ba'alecha, I'm coming to you." The big deal, I'm coming to me. So come to me. When are you going to send me a message? So Chazal say, Rashi brings, say begini, come to give me honor. Lo begini, if not because of me, because of Yadon. But he was requesting honor. He was requesting, come out to greet me. So what kind of lashon is that? Come and greet me. You know, so come and knock on my door and say good morning. What are you asking for a parade? You know, you're asking for a greeting party. So Schwab writes that he heard from a certain person. He writes his name, who was a Talmud of Davnei Nezer. So this has to go back many years. That Davnei Nezer said the following. He said that when a man is nifter, we're told the Gemara is averis accompany him. He said that when Talmidei Chachamim show kavod to the nifter, it, so to speak, scares away or it offsets the influence of the averis, of the bad influences that are coming with him. If they are, what?
What is offsets?
Offset, it cancels out. It, that these bad influences are canceled by the fact that somebody who understands and knows goes and greets him. He says, that's why, to go out to be malava amazed, because being malava amazed, that itself is a ksas refuah. Yisra, who had been Ovid Avodah Zarah, was afraid. He had all these bad angels accompanying him, all of his past actions accompanying him. So he said, Moshe Rabbeinu would say, Begini, if you go out and you show me honor, that will cause these angels to leave me alone. He writes there as a second thought that Ananiya Kovid didn't let the bad angels in. You know, the Erev Rav couldn't get in to the Ananiya Kovid. They were Hanecha Shalom Acharecha. So that Yisrael was afraid of an embarrassment that he won't be able to get in. You know, you come to the door and they don't let you in. So his coming out, that would greet him. That's where Schwab writes. I guess we'll come back to Mishneh Aleph on Thursday.